Do you guys sense like every time we come in here, there's you can just instantly, it's getting faster and faster to enter into worship. It's taking less time. It's because like that resident anointing is happening. It's very exciting. Do you know that anytime you give God time, like every single service, we could just wait on the Lord. It's amazing when he kind of comes in that holy hush like this morning, but anytime you give time to the Lord, he'll just take it as long as our hearts are right before him. Well, praise God. I'm excited. Tonight we're going to talk about prayer. And even more specifically, the fight to stay in prayer. And I'm not even just talking about praying in tongues, although that's really essential and really important. And we know that when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's like we're lending him our tongue, if you want to say it like that. And we're praying out mysteries, we're praying those things that are wrong in us that need to go. But we're also interceding for other people. I really believe that there's a lot of times we don't really know what we're praying, but the Holy Spirit, we're yielding ourselves to him. And so he's able to use us in prayer in a way that maybe we're not even aware of. We're really not aware because when we pray in the Spirit, we know that our understanding is unfruitful. But I'm not just talking about prayer in terms of praying in tongues. So yes, key, it's in there, it's important, we need to. But what's really on my heart is our prayer life really needs to just be first place. And one of the things the Lord shared with me is that our prayer life and prayer is actually vital to our walk. And meaning, without that, we're missing something. It's like, it's our life. Okay, it's what we need. And it's all forms of prayer. It's talking to God and just sharing your heart with him. And in worship, worship and prayer are just so tightly linked because you're just really with him in his presence. It's waiting in awe and tearing like we did this morning. It's praying in faith. God just doesn't want us to pray like, oh, please, 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 if you can, please. He wants us to come before him, trusting him. And with thanksgiving, which just means that we know that it's already done. You know, God, I thank you that if I pray according to your will, you hear me. And if you hear me, then I know that I have the petitions that I've asked. You know, if you pray some willy-nilly off-the-wall thing like, give me wings, well, that's not gonna happen. But if you say, I thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes I was healed, well, that lines up to his word, and now you can back it. A pastor liked that one. Did you want wings or something? Ooh. Okay, recently what's happened with me, I've always been very hands-on with my kids. Of course, they're growing up now. I have one kid married, another one in college. It's very weird. I feel old. But what it is, my kids' whole lives, it's like I'm always inserting Jesus. You know, and I'm like, well, what about this? What about that? How about Jesus here? What does this teach us? So my kids went to secular school, and basically when they got home, it was a debriefing. What did you, every day, pretty much within reason. It's like, how is today? Okay. If there was something that was off and they knew like what to tell me, we'd be like, okay, what does God say though? You know, if there was something they were teaching at school that was wrong, I'd go into the office and be like, my kids aren't learning this. And then that's it. That's what would happen. They just wouldn't learn it. But there's things that would sneak in because you get worldview in everything that is taught. And so we would have a debriefing and we'd, you know, and I would insert myself. And you have to do that because the world is inserting itself all day long. So you have to put Jesus in there. So I've always been very hands-on, even as they've gotten older. As you pray for your kids, God gives you like wisdom and tells you stuff. And you're like, oh, I know this now. And then it's like, should I say this? Should I not? And then when you should say it, I always do. And it's like, okay, this is what the Lord's showing me. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Of course, it's their own walk. But what's happened with Rebecca is I can't just insert myself. She's away. So I found myself saying, oh, God, all I can do is pray. And he quickly checked me as if it was only, right? As if prayer was less than me inserting myself. And I quickly repented of that one. And I am learning a new level of prayer where you are hands off, where I'm hands off. Okay, I'm a very hands-on person no matter who it is or what I'm doing. That's just who I am. Even if I talk to you, it's all my might not to touch people when I'm talking to them. it's like I want to, no matter who it is. We've done street ministry, and I like to touch them too. Like, it doesn't matter. But people, I really love people. I'm touchy. And a lot of people are like, back away, I'm not touchy. I've been learning how to just hands off and just leave it with the Lord. Okay, so that's like a new level of prayer. But God wants us to develop our prayer life, not where we just know what we know, but we're actually doing it. And one of the things he was reminding me was that we go to grade one and we graduate grade one. We don't repeat grade one. We go to grade two. But in the kingdom of God, it's not like that. And this is what I mean. Yes, we relearn line upon line. That's what I'm talking about. We think, well, I've learned it, and therefore I don't need to do it anymore. Like, I know what praying in tongues does, so, well, I'm good. But you haven't graduated until you get to heaven. Tongues only cease there. And so we can't have this attitude like, I'm going to stop now because I've already learned that. We actually have to remind ourselves to do it, because what I have found, and I don't know if you guys, you don't have to put up your hands, but if I don't purposefully take that time, it's not happening. Like, I have to, like, mark it in. So what's been going on in the body of Christ lately, and with people that I talk to, and just the impression I'm getting in the spirit, is there's a lot of people going through a lot of things. There's people who are really struggling. Some people are struggling with their flesh. Some people are under attack of the enemy. Some people are having a hard time, like their sensory is overloaded with all the evil and darkness in the world. That's like they don't know what to do with it. Okay, I think that's actually why a lot of people say stupid things on social media. It's like they don't even know what to do with it. So you're going to the wrong place, right? That's part of the struggle is, it's like we know what to do, but then it's like we get into our life and it's almost like we're just on autopilot and we forget that we actually need this prayer life. We need that. It is vital. And when you think of vital, what do you think? Vital signs, right? Like, does God need a spiritual paddle for some of us? Do you know what I mean? To kind of, because that's how, the impression I was getting, the strength of it was like, God is pleading with us, like, you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to come to me. That's what it was. It's like, he's not upset or anything, but he's like, please come. You know, we want this to be the generation that seeks him, that knows him, right? But we disqualify ourselves from that. So if we want to be the generation where we want to be this remnant revival church, it's vital that, and that's God's word that he gave me, vital that we pray more. And I don't just mean tongues. I mean all of it. The sum total, to take from Pastor Jim, that's when the sum total of all that prayer means, that's what we have to do. And that means that, okay, let me give you an example. Okay, so let's do a weekend day. So Saturday morning, you get up and you spend, I don't know, your coffee and your time in the Word. And then you have a bunch of things to do. And God knows you have a bunch of things to do. But then, and then you go out and you do some things and you come home and you've got like an hour time. That time, okay, that's where you could be praying. That's where you could be. And you know what? People are like, well, I just need to rest, or I just need to do this. And sometimes we do need to do that. But you all know there's times that you're making excuses. You know, keep coming back to him. Who cares that you just read your Bible in the morning? You come back, you sit down, and you, hallelujah, Lord, I love you. Start praying in the spirit. You know, oh, now the kids are coming and they're bugging you. That's okay. You're taking that time. Okay, now you got to deal with the kids. That's fine. You got to deal with the house, or if you're a woman, you got to make dinner, or all the things we have to do. And that sometimes feels overwhelming. But then, like I have 10 minutes. Okay, I'm just going to run to my room. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. You see, but mostly, including me, we don't take those times. Or like take the hour to do something else, or the 10 minutes to do something else. And the word from the Lord is, you know, keep coming back to me. Keep coming back to me. It's vital. It's vital for, what are we coming into? We've been talking about this. The darkness is increasing, but the power of God is going to be so much more great. We see it. We read about it in the book of Revelations, right? We know what's coming. And again, from the Lord too, it's only going to get worse. And that's not a doom. It's like, it's the truth. If we don't learn how to pray now, if we don't understand that it is vital to our walk to learn how to pray and seek him now, what are we going to do as things get darker and darker and worse and worse? There's so many people. This is what is going through my heart and my mind as I was praying. It's like, God, I just can't do this anymore. Just come. Just take us home. I can't handle this anymore. I don't want to be here. This just overwhelming attitude of just wanting to give up and wanting to stop, and just the pressure and the things that are going on in families and relationships and the attacks that are coming. It's not that it's not there, everybody. Okay, yes, these things are happening. But what God wants us to do is fight to stay in prayer. Win that battle. Don't let the stuff win the battle. Let the prayer win the battle. That decision to say, I'm going to seek you and I'm going to pray. And I have to do it too. I have to do it all the time. About a month ago, I was in a fast, and I've never experienced this in my life. And I'm sharing this because it really is, what I'm talking about tonight really has nothing to do with how we feel. The entire fast, okay? The entire fast was terrible. I don't mean hungry. Yeah, whatever. Once you start learning how to fast, you get hungry, but you learn how to deal with it, okay? It wasn't the hunger. It was the thoughts that were hammering me. I've never had this before in my whole life. Like, I've had thoughts. They come, but then it goes. The entire time, like the 10 days, okay? 10 days did not stop. I didn't feel good. I didn't feel right. I don't mean physically. I mean, like, you know, you start worshiping, and you're like, hallelujah, I'm in your presence, Jesus, and everything feels good. The entire time, no matter what I did. And at the end of it, what I discovered was, like, through it all, I'm seeking God, I'm pressing in, because that's the battle, that's the fight. The fight is to stay in the prayer and to not run away because things are coming at you. And so even feeling it all, you're feeling it. You feel like, what did Pastor say? Dave used to say, like, a lowly worm or something, you know? You feel awful the whole time. And the whole time, the thoughts that are coming, it just, and I knew it was the enemy, but it was still, I was still feeling it. Does that make sense? And the whole time I knew, that's not who I am. It's just there was a brief moment where I was like, oh my gosh, is something really wrong with me? And then I was like, no, this doesn't line up with the word of God. I know that's not who I am. I know this is just an attack of the enemy, coming at my mind to try to get me to stop. So not only was I starving, but the entire time I felt terrible. And it didn't end till I was done. But in it, even though I'm feeling it all and these thoughts are going, in my heart I knew, my spirit I knew, that's not who I am. So the second that you decide to up your prayer life, which is what God is pleading with us to do, the second that you do that, you're going to get opposition. So if you know that going in, then you're forearmed. And you know that that's not who you are. And part of the fight and part of the battle is when that stuff comes, you don't like let go of prayer. That's really what it is. It's you feel terrible. You want to like rip everybody's head off around you. Get away from me because you don't feel good. You something feels wrong. Yet in that moment, God is still doing something in us. So the fight is to stay in prayer. I felt like the Lord just gave me a few things to talk about in terms of, because we have to pray tonight. That was a big thing. We need to get into some prayer. As far as what we were doing, like just praying in the spirit shortly. But there's a few things the Lord gave me that are hindrances to us getting into that prayer and staying in prayer. And so I just want to share those with you. The first thing that I had, and obviously this is not like this exhaustive list, okay? It's just a few things that we need to be aware of because we want to win the fight to stay in prayer. One is lack of staying in the training, and it's similar to what I just shared with you. Why don't you go to 2 Timothy 2 while you're going there? I'm going to tell you, I played basketball in high school. I played volleyball too, 9th through 12th grade. Sorry, volleyball I did not play 10th grade, it was 9th, 11th, 12th, but basketball I played 9th through 12th. We had a coach came from America, Mr. Allen, he was great. When he was our coach, we actually won games. When he wasn't, we never won. It was awful. Because he was so like, you guys have to know. You don't know because you're here. But America has a drive that's just not paralleled, okay? So it's like, whatever you do, be the best, you know? Like, and so that was our coach, Mr. Allen. He came and this is what we had to do. The first, I don't know, 15 minutes of practice when we got in, he told us to pick a spot And we had to get like really good at that spot, wherever it was on the court. So I did not pick a three-point shot. I picked like right at the key, okay? Like the free throw line. And I got up to 80%. So 8 out of 10 times, every time I shot from anywhere around that area, I got it in 80% of the time. And I was good. And his theory was that if you're there and you're open and you get the pass, you're getting it in. That was his theory. It was great. It was wonderful. But I tell you what, I can't do that now. Like, I could probably get it back and I remember it. But why can't I throw 80% of the time? Like, why can't I get it in right now? Because I'm out of practice. That is exactly what it's like if you get out of practice of praying. It's not like you don't remember that you did it, okay? You don't remember what it felt like, or you don't remember how to pray in tongues or how to pray or talk to God. It's that you're out of practice. Prayer can feel like that. And then it feels like the most foreign thing to start doing it again. So even if I were to, right now what happens when I try and play basketball is I'm kind of afraid now, which I never was before, and that it hinders you from playing, from doing well. If we want to stay in prayer, we have to learn how to stay in the training. We have to learn that we're part of a new kingdom. We're part of an army. This is what Paul was telling Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness. Okay, we're talking about the fight to stay in prayer. It sometimes is really hard to stay in prayer. But he says that we need to endure it. We got to get through it. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so I think what often happens is we're too entangled with the things of this life. We've kind of forgotten that, like rusty, like the whole basketball analogy. We're kind of rusty, and it's because we've sort of gotten entangled with some things. And praying just feels like really foreign. We've forgotten that we're a soldier. And so one of the fights, one of the battles to, you know, stay in prayer is that you stay in that training. You make your butt sit there and you stay in. Shut out the world and just stay in prayer. Another one is being distracted or busy. And unfortunately, this is just, I think, first world problems, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that people who are not in the first world don't have to deal with this as much, okay? But we do. And we all know the story about Martha and Mary and how Martha's like, Jesus, help, you know, get Mary to help me. And he's like, Martha, what does he say? He said, you're cumbered by much serving. In another version, it says distracted by much serving. She was so distracted, and of course we know the story. But turn to Acts chapter 17. So I was reading this like several years ago, and this just really stuck out to me in terms of just the meaning of what it of it all. And we're going to start in verse 14. It says of Acts chapter 17, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You know, part of what we're feeling right now is this vexing. Just we're stirred because there's so much wickedness. Okay, that's normal when you're born again, you know. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, which is Mars Hill, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. This is the verse. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So I know this is talking about what they're hearing, But when I was reading this, it was like, you know, do we spend our life always having to do and to try some new thing? Like, it has such our attention, or to, even to hear new things. Do we, are we given over to things where we always have to be busy? We always have to be doing something. I met a person who said she kept her kid busy every single day so that he didn't get into trouble. I'm like, no, you have to teach your kids how to rest too, and how to be still, and how to like absorb and build relationship and have a conversation. That's just fear-based. If you have to keep them busy to keep them out of trouble, just teach them how to stay out of trouble. You know, build a relationship so that you could speak into their lives later when trouble does come. You know, keeping people busy every day, that's not a good philosophy. We had people visit us up in Oshawa when we were pastoring up there. And they were from Ohio here, and it's the first time I've ever experienced this. We had somebody up ministering, and she had brought people with her from her church. And whenever there was a spare moment, these people were like, well, what's to do? Where's to eat? What's to do? Like, and you're like, it was so crazy to me, so foreign. Listen, if we don't know how to stop the busyness and the distractedness, it's going to be really hard, really just to hear God, okay? It's not like you can't pray during that time, but it's like we really do need to just set aside time and say, okay, this is for Jesus. And you know what? Unbusy yourself. Stop saying yes to everything. You're not obligated to. It's true. I'm not saying don't build a relationship. Sure. But your kids don't need to be in 20 things. And you don't need to always be on the move. And the reason why you don't is because you need to learn how to be settled and how to stay. Another reason that we don't pray is we simply don't want to. We make time for the things that we want to do. That's just how it is. And, you know, we know what to do. We know prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. And then we're like, we think maybe we're doing it, but then we're not doing it. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, which means there's a diligence in coming to God that's necessary. It's not going to just fall into your lap. In Hebrews 10:38-39, it says that God's soul has no pleasure in them who put their hand to the plow and then turn back. When I first got on fire for Jesus at 19:20, that scripture hit me between my eyes. You know, it was like, Father, I don't want to start this and then turn away from you. I want to be loyal to you. You know, there's a diligence that's needed. There's a, I don't feel like it, but I'm doing it anyway, kind of decision that we have to make on a regular basis. And you know what? Our want to does take over. Again, it's training. The longer that we learn how to be a soldier and stay in that training, it becomes easier to stay then. It becomes easier to do the things that we want to do. And our want to begins to change, where it's not always like you don't want to. But I tell you something. If you let your flesh have its way, it will take it. So you could be walking along and getting all these victories, and if you stop, it's not long before your flesh is like, ooh, good, I'm in charge again. That's what happens. I mean, we know that's what happens because it's always at war with our spirit. It's always wanting the preeminence. And so our fight is to say no to that and fight to stay in prayer, fight to communicate with God, fight to have this time with the Lord. That is where we need to be, to keep pressing forward. Everyone turn to Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Another reason we don't like what God is saying. We begin to seek him and he starts saying, stop this, don't do this. And then we're like, I don't like this. This doesn't feel very good. Okay, look. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We know in chapter 4 it talks about how he hated them. That's why. He didn't like them. He didn't want them to repent. We know that he was upset when they repented because he wanted them under judgment. That's really what it was. So he didn't like the word of the Lord. So guess what he did? Here's what's amazing. Do you notice how the word of the Lord came to Jonah, but he runs from the presence of the Lord? Why is that? Because in the presence of the Lord is the word of the Lord, and he's not changing his mind. So every time, if you don't like what God is saying and you're in his presence and you really don't like it and you don't want to submit or yield to it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to run from his presence. That's what happens. Do you notice that after that, Jonah goes through all this hardship, right? And then turn over to chapter 3. He finally humbles himself. He submits. He repents. But really, I feel like by chapter 4, you realize, did he really repent? Who knows? Because, you know, he really doesn't want God to have his way. It's kind of like he relents because he's in the belly of the whale and he's miserable. And it does have this measure of he's humbling himself before God. But notice in verse 3, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. In this entire time, God didn't change his mind. To God, this is the second time. God didn't, you've gone through enough. That's right. You were in the belly of the whale. Oh, you didn't like what I said? Okay, let's do something else. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and he said the same thing. How many times do we go before God and he starts putting his finger on something? Because by the way, he does that because we're his children. We're his sons. God only chastises those that are his sons. And that's not a gender thing. It's girls and boys. God only chastises those that are his sons. When he begins to speak to us and say, I want you to stop doing that, or just come away here, or whatever it is, we all know when we don't like what he's saying and we run away, we're running away from his presence. But when we come back to it, he's still saying the same thing. So here is the fight. Just yield the first time. Because if we keep running from his presence, we're going to get farther and farther away from him. You know, but we want to yield to him, do we not? I mean, we say that. We want to. But in the moment, and I think it's so subtle. Like, I don't think any of us are, like, blatant like Jonah. Like, running away from God into a ship and go to the farthest part. I don't think that we're doing that. But it's kind of like, ooh, I'm just going to back off here. I don't really like, this is making me uncomfortable. Now, the last one that I'm going to say, because there's so many, but the last one I'm going to say, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 42. It's similar to that one in that we don't like what God is saying, but here it's really talking about from the outset a heart that is not submitted to the Lord. And what we're going to start reading here is a word that Jeremiah gave to the remnant of the children of Israel. And this is the place where in Israel's history where the Babylonians had already taken them captive. There was just a remnant. They were fleeing to Egypt, but they had stopped near Bethlehem, Judah, and they asked Jeremiah, can you seek the Lord for us? And this is the account we're going to start in verse 2. And they said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Look at their answer. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even do according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. So he calls them all to him. Let me just paraphrase a little bit. And he basically says, here's what the Lord says to you. Don't go down to Egypt. I know that you're small. I know that you're afraid of the Babylonian king, but stay here and I'm going to bless you. Anyone who disobeys and goes to Egypt, you know, you're going to die. You're going to die by the famine or the pestilence or the sword. Don't go down to Egypt. And then let's look at their response, chapter 43. Verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people of all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent them, even all these words. Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kariah and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kariah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. And here's, it seems like they're doing what Jonah did, but here's a little bit different. Go back to chapter 42, verse 19. This gives us the picture. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us. And that word dissemble means hypocrisy. They had no intention, really, of listening to the Lord. What they thought is they assumed they knew what God was saying, and they thought that God would align himself to what they already wanted, but really in their heart they had no intention of yielding. So they were going to God with this hypocrisy in their heart, saying, yes, I'm going to yield, but with no intention to yield. So Jonah ran away from the presence because he didn't like what God was saying, but in this instance, we can go to God assuming that he's going to answer our prayers a certain way, or he's going to speak to us in a certain way. But when he doesn't, we say, oh, well, that's not really you. I'm not going to yield to that. These are just some of the things, like just a few points tonight of the things that keep us out of prayer. And we know, like, we have different things in our lives. I know that, you know, that keep us out of prayer. One of the things the Lord was saying to me is some people, your prayer life is so, it's almost dead. It's almost, seriously, like so dry. It's been so hard that you need to do a factory reset. That's what the Lord showed me. And then I looked it up. This is what the definition of a factory reset is. It's a software restore of a device to its original system state by erasing all information stored on the device that is not needed for device usage. So basically, there's an operating system and all the other junk erased. And it's not because God's mad at you. It's not because you're trying to find, you know, work, like you're trying to come under some sort of works. It's that it's been, prayer has been so hard and so difficult. You kind of need to do this spiritual factory reset. And I would encourage you tonight, if this is ministering to you, set aside time, like decide tonight that you're going to set aside time to fast and to pray and to seek him to get that factory reset back in line. Because you don't want to be someone who doesn't have that vital prayer life that we need going into the end times. We need this. We need this. It's so vital. Like the impression God was given, well, I'm going to read what he gave me, but basically that word vital, it is your life. It is my life. Prayer is our life. And again, not just tongues, although tongues, it's all of it. It's all of what that means. This relationship, it's so vital. Like if we don't have this, I don't know how we're going to live. That's how strong the impression was. Okay? So this is what the Lord said to me. Knowing his voice clearly and spending time with him in prayer is vital to our spiritual health. Now more than ever, we must be close to the Lord, because the darkness we see all around us and the battles we have been going through are only going to increase. So guys, again, it's an encouragement to say, with the darkness comes the light, but we got to press into him. God is asking us to come closer to him, to develop a prayer life that can withstand the end times. If you are feeling overwhelmed, this is for you. But if you are feeling strong, this is also for you. This message is for all those who have ears to hear. We must increase our prayer life. The word vital is from the Lord. This word means absolutely necessary, important, and essential to your Christian life. If we want to live, we must spend time with him. It is our very life to develop in prayer. Prayer must become the single most important thing in our lives and to adjust all other things to that one thing so that we can fit in more prayer. We need to win the fight to stay in prayer and to not get out of it. And so the question tonight really is, and we're going to pray, is are we going to hear? Am I going to hear? You know, here's what happens when you start spending time with the Lord and you're asking, okay, what do you want me to say? He starts telling you stuff and then you start feeling convicted. So there's moments where I know I'm doing good and I'm pressing, and then there's other areas where I'm like, oh, I can do better here. Okay? And God is saying, like, we need to start that. There are some of you, I'm serious, it's like you have to take that paddle to your spirit and do something drastic right now. And then there are some of you that just remind, it's just a reminder, okay, I'm going to keep pressing into God. But the truth is, have you noticed how much God has been speaking through different people, whether it be a prophetic word at the end of service or during service or during a message? How he keeps telling us, like, get ready and prepare and listen and come and be with me. And why is he saying this? Like, is it falling on deaf ears? So the choice is up to us. And so the question tonight is, are we going to do it? Are we going to increase our prayer life? Are we going to take this seriously? Or are we just going to be like, oh yeah, that was a warning, but it doesn't really apply to me? I would suggest that we all take this seriously and we just seek him and say, God, show me the areas where, you know, I can pray more, where I can take time from my life and where I can make this a priority. And again, the Lord is pleading with us. He's saying, do this, please do this. You know, like, I just see him like, come on, we can do this. Be the generation. Be those who are going to fight to stay in prayer. So why don't we pray for half an hour and then I'll come back up. As we were praying, I like this as a word for those who have been feeling really discouraged lately. It's from Psalm 27, and it's David saying, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is for you. Just renew your hope in him. Renew yourself to think, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the here and now. Begin to wait on him, and he will strengthen your heart. If we want the benefits of prayer, we actually have to pray. So we love you, Jesus. We thank you for tonight, an opportunity to come into your house, into your presence, to hear your word, Lord, and just to pray. Lord, what an honor. What an honor, Lord. We love you so much. We give you all the praise and the glory. We ask, Father, that you just continue to do the work that you've begun in us tonight. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.